Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everyone. This is DJ Wise here with Musicology. We're back. We're doing the 1970s. That was a little bit of Led Zeppelin off the Royal Albert Hall show that they did in 73. Awesome show. Check that one out. Yeah, so we're doing early 1970s this week. So we're going to focus a little bit on metal. We're going to focus a little bit on funkadelic. We'll get into that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't actually want to spoil all of it. I want to give you guys some...
You'll see.
You'll see. Get there. Hold your pants. Anyway, so last week we left off with, oddly enough, the late 1960s. If you just listened to Music Central, you are probably pretty aware of what was going on. But in case you weren't, and in case you're just tuning in right now, we had tremendous hits from Bob Dylan coming through. Just essentially every song that you heard, I think maybe 5 out of 10 songs you probably heard on the radio were probably influenced or written by Bob Dylan.
Or a cover
of Bob Dylan. Yeah. Everything was Bobby D at that time, and he was exploring new sounds. So yeah, we kind of gave the 1960s to him, but there was also Motown, maybe not so much in the mainstream market. Going through Black America, Berry Gordy was the pioneer of that in Detroit. And then we had Beatlemania, of course, sweeping over not only the UK in the early 1960s, but also the US in the later of 1960s. And yeah, so I mean, we just talked about that essentially in Music Central. So you can kind of tell what's going on there. And then, of course, Electric Blues, taking that Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf sound, and turning it into essentially just rock. We looked at some really awesome bands. My personal favorite, Mr. Dr. Brother Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix. You had albums as, you know, Axis Bowls Love, Ladyland, and of course, Are You Experienced? Then you had Cream with Wheels of Fire, and just it, yeah. You had so many different bands coming out, being harder and just a lot like grungier. I think the UK, what we talked about was that the UK came out and they were able to listen to these blues albums and turn it just hardcore. And it was awesome. Yeah.
And it was living kind of like, it kind of coexisted with that, you know, psychedelic movement.
Right.
Acid rock was kind of influenced by the blues thing,
but heavy
blues wasn't anything new in the 70s. It had its roots, like, I think, with, you know, that song by the Kinks, You Really Got Me.
Right.
I mean, that was 64.
Right.
And that song is loud.
That song is very loud, yeah. I mean, we'll get into that in a second here. But leaving the 1960s and going into the early 1970s, the U.S. had just signed the Paris Peace Accord in January of 1973 with North Vietnam. So essentially the U.S. military left Vietnam, leaving 56,000 American soldiers dead at the time. So a lot of bloodshed over something that really did not matter.
Yeah, definitely.
Over a reason why we shouldn't have been there for. Anyway, leaving us with the end of the baby boomer generation, sort of fading out to the darkness. Hippies kind of just falling apart, and from that we kind of gained a more materialistic society. We kind of gained a generation that took away that peace, love, good vibes idea and went to like business and money and upscale, you know,
and cars.
Yeah,
70s cars are awesome.
Yeah, what was like sunshine flowers, VW buses were now like air conditioners, microwaves, and snowmobiles.
Yeah.
Like it was all about the bling back then.
Yeah. Yeah, oh man, like 70s, like gold chains
with the big
whatnot.
Fur coats, you know, walking around. Anyway,
exactly.
You know who you are.
That 70s show.
That 70s show. There you go. That's just watch
awesome.
That's where we get all our 70s information, actually.
Oh,
this week.
Yeah.
We just watched the 70s show. Anyway, another big thing about the 1970s that was very interesting was that the drugs started to shift. Now, I know drugs don't play any role in music. Wink, wink. But what was happening was that drugs, psychedelic drugs, or just even drugs like marijuana, were becoming kind of passe. They weren't as accepted by maybe the general public. Kind of seemed like they were just not as cool anymore.
Yeah, it wasn't. People were starting to sober up by the late 60s. You know, musicians.
Right.
And
it was kind of...
Because of this soberity, it led to more back to basics, roots rock, hard, you know,
right,
rock,
right, right.
Instead of like.
But what was happening was
effects and whatnot.
Yeah, what was happening? What was interesting was, coke was coming out, cocaine. So, you know, by 1973, Time did a poll, and apparently 48 million Americans had already sampled coke.
Damn.
At least once in their life. And I think that more or less, like you were saying, didn't... yeah, it snowed a lot over in America. So, yeah, I think that's going to play more of a key role in...
the harder element.
Harder elements of music, which we'll talk about later on. Mm-hmm. But getting back to what you were saying about maybe musicians sobering up and just using more effects, that kind of brings up progressive rock.
Uh-huh.
And by the early 1970s, as LSD kind of came to a close and musicians started to look for new ways of breaking boundaries, maybe without that LSD, a new brand of music called progressive rock started to take precedence in the UK and America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often characterized by its abrupt tempo changes as well as its complicated rhythm progressions. And it's a new form that allows kind of artsy people to explore music. Like essentially bebop would be for jazz. It's a new way to explore music.
A lot of bands that followed this progressive movement were also, some of them were a part of the whole arena rock thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Of course, you know, one person that comes to mind is Pink Floyd.
Right, right.
They started doing huge
arena, yeah.
Huge rock shows. That had kind of represented the sound because it was just such a large sound compared to, you know, the garage rock stuff.
It was
that
like
they
that, yeah, like that stereo sort of idea where you have two different wave sounds kind of coming in, and like you have like one ear with like this bass, and then one ear with like this like weird kind of wah 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 wah
going
like through. So, going
through the headphones.
Yeah. So I mean, bands that kind of took upon this were Yes. Very kind of abstract. King Crimson, Genesis, they all flocked to the scene during the early 1970s. Mm-hmm. All had a lot of top albums, actually, at the time. So, but one band in particular that reigned supreme over all was, of course, Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Originally the Megadeths, then the Abdabs, the Screaming Abdabs, the Spectrum 5, the T-Set. These are all names that they had that Roger wanted. You know, they had the T-sets. And then finally Pink Floyd, which came from Sid Barrett's love of two blues players, like you were about to say, Pink Anderson and Floyd Council.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're still seeing blues playing a huge key role in all forms of music.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so we did kind of mention Pink Floyd earlier. When they were starting in the 1960s, Roger and Nick Mason knew each other through art school. They were trying to start a different band. They had a couple different musicians come in and play. They finally met Sid Barrett. Sid was very interesting. He was also in art school, but he was a little different. They got Richard Wright in. Then they came out with their first album. So what year was that? That was
67,
of course.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so, and then they carried out their stuff from the 60s. They kind of had a rocky start.
Right.
Trying to find their image there because they had to get rid of Sid and
they
David
had to,
coming
yeah.
in. So, but when they finally found their sound, I think, personally, I think they found that Pink Floyd sound in 71.
Yeah,
with the album Metal,
right?
Which had Echoes on it. It was the first album to start the progressive thing, which would eventually lead to Dark Side, Wish You Were Here, and the rest.
Yeah, so extremely avant-garde album, or albums coming out of Pink Floyd, 1971 to then on. And then in 1973.
Exactly. We have Dark Side of the Moon.
We have Dark Side of the Moon. Probably one of the best albums of all time, obviously.
If not the best album,
yeah. It's arguably up there with OK Computer and Revolver. So, yeah. Pink Floyd is definitely one of the best. They're actually they're 51 on the list of 100 greatest artists of all time, according to Rolling Stone, and they've sold over 250 million albums worldwide. So we're getting into Beatles area. We're getting high up there. So I do want to play a song for you because we've been talking for too long here. We've been talking for quite a bit now, 10 minutes now, and I want to play for you a song off Wish You Were Here, which is one of my favorite albums. Oddly enough, it's one of David Gilmour's favorite albums and Richard Wright's favorite albums. So, I mean, it kind of goes to show you how, even though Dark Side was the best album, some of the band members might prefer four-album song, you know? But listen to it. See why maybe the guitarist and the piano player might have liked it more. Don't go away, because we got a lot of great more music for you here on Musicology on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for listening. I am DJ Wise here with DJ King. Here comes Pink Floyd for you. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah.
Some Pink Floyd for you guys.
Pink Floyd for you guys.
Wish You Were Here, 1975.
Oh, yeah. That was...
an amazing album.
An amazing album. So, yeah. So, we're talking about progressive rock a little bit, and we're talking about the immense sort of growing sound of the 1970s, and I kind of want to shift gears here because I know we don't have a full time for a full show, and I need to get to everything, and I know Pink Floyd we could go on for hours on. We've done this before. if you're really interested in Pink Floyd, listen to, I think, the 7th episode of Music Central where DJ Keen and I talk about The Dark Side for a full hour there. Check that out if you want to learn more. But shifting gears here, we're going to talk about another band, which we've also talked for hours on. And it's a band that derived essentially their whole sound from that blues, heavy, electric, Muddy Waters, Delta blues, Chicago blues kind of sound. And most notable for this is Led Zeppelin. Leddy Zeppelin themselves, right?
British guys doing Chicago blues.
Oh, yeah. Go figure. They knew how to do it. Good. In 1968, our favorite guitar god producing band, the Yardbirds, of course, fell apart, leaving guitarist Page the right to the band's name as well as its concert obligations. Mm-hmm. So what did Page do with this? He was a genius, so he decided to enroll John Paul Jones as the bassist for the band. Great decision. He knew the bassist through a Rolling Stone session they did together. So, I mean, there's lots of connections there. It just kind of goes to show you how everyone was connected. Page back then tried to get singer Terry Reid as well as drummer BJ Wilson to join the band, but neither of them were available. So who was available at the time?
The rest of the guys, John Bonham, Robert Plant.
Mr. Plant's of the Roberts, right. So Robert Plant and John Bonham were both available. Robert Plant at the time, I think, 20 years old at the time when they first met. So that's kind of amazing to be a 20-year-old and killing it. Immediately, the band started touring together as the New Yardbirds, and allegedly, this is rumored, Keith Moon helped name the band Led Zeppelin. That's interesting. I can see that. Keith's a very creative person, very weird guy. But then they changed their name to Led Zeppelin. By 1969, they had introduced their first album, Led Zeppelin 1, and the rest is history. Right. So, I mean, we're kind of talking about the 1960s a little bit here, but once they hit 1970
Led Zeppelin 3.
Led Zeppelin 3, right.
Yeah.
And so, which is a great album, to be fair. It's very fun, but when Led Zeppelin 4 came out, next year, it blew everyone's mind. Right?
Yeah. Why? Because it was because it was.
It was because it was amazing.
That was.
I've heard hundreds of different metal artists. What kind of metal do you like? You like stoner metal? You like maybe more grunge metal, sludge metal? Every metal band attributes Led Zeppelin 4 to the start of metal. Maybe with 1970, also with Black Sabbath's Paranoid, but those two albums right there, they started it, man. Don't even...
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, because of one amazing single, not a single, it wasn't ever released as a single, a song on that album, Stairway,
right?
Of course, helped with the metal movement as well.
Yeah, it just super heavy, super hardcore, super awesome. Jeez, I love Led Zeppelin. yeah. We've talked for hours on Led Zeppelin, don't? Yeah. The song I'm going to play for you, ironically enough, though, is off Houses of the Holy. A great album, a great rock album. The band here is kind of utilizing Jimmy Page's sort of country sound he has a little bit going on. Yeah. I think we're going to get to the song now. I'd much rather play Led Zeppelin than talk about Led Zeppelin. So here you go. This is The Song Remains the Same off Houses of the Holy, Led Zeppelin. Don't go away. We have a lot more music here on Musicology on radio.dominican.edu.
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, everyone.
Houses of the Holy.
Houses of the Holy, 1973. Just, what were we talking about? 20 days after Dark Side came out?
Exactly.
Exactly. So a lot of great music coming out in the early 70s. I think we picked the right era to talk about this week, actually.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So shifting gears a little bit, I always do this in the middle of the show. You know, we always talk about some great music. Last week we talked about Bob Dylan, then the Beatles. And then all of a sudden, you know, I shifted gears a little bit, and I think I want to do that this week. So I think I want to start funking things up in the studio right quick, if you don't mind, all right, okay? So last week, we left this jive planet with Brother Hendrix, right? Okay. So he took us to Jupiter, right, with psychedelic acid rock. And then our cosmic journey of soul sound and fire burn and funky universe did not end with Hendrix, though. It was not over.
It merely begun.
We had just lifted off, right? Okay. So when we continue to the inspirational, the magical, the funkadelical, we have to talk about the man himself, George Clinton, right? So this is a guy who wrote for Berry Gordy, you know, so he knows how to write. Berry Gordy, the Motown man himself, and so he knew how to write. And he took Sly and the Family Stone's idea of having a big band of like just all these super musicians, and then he kind of took James Brown's idea of being crazy and combine those together to make this funk, rock, psychedelic, crazy, acid, funkadelic sound. Yeah. And he took James Brown punchy horns. He took the insistent rhythm and the repetitious drums and vocals and made it into Parliament, which was his band back in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Parliament included such members as Maceo Parker, and Fred Wellesley. I've seen Maceo Parker. He's amazing.
Really?
He's actually toured.
Solo?
Yeah, no, he's toured with Prince.
Ah.
And Bootsy Collins on bass. The man himself, Bootsy. That's a super group if you ever wanted one. And they toured around during mid-1970s. 1976 was their first album, Mothership Connection, where Clinton essentially touched on just this space sort of exploration that was going on at the time, with the first spaceship going off, and kind of took off with it, and it's just this awesome funkadelic sound.
Yeah.
Maybe their third album, excuse me.
He was also the mastermind behind Funkadelic.
Yeah.
That band as well.
That band was Parliament originally, but then they had some legal issues.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can't use the name Parliament, and so they had to change it to Funkadelic. But then when they won that lawsuit, he was like, "No, we're Parliament. We're going back." So, yeah. That was the situation there. And then you had the clones of Dr. Funkenstein, personal favorite title of mine. And Flashlight. We've all heard Flashlight. You
Flashlight.
Know. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So you kind of take this Motown, Jimi Hendrix rock and roll style, put it all into one, then put it on acid, and you have George Clinton. And you have Georgie Clinton. And he hit us with a lot of different hits. One in particular, which I'm about to play for you now, is Off Mothership Connection, Star Child. Fantastic album. If you like funk, start with Sly, go to James Brown, then hit up my man George Clinton, because if you're talking about funk, this is the guy you got to go to. So, yeah. Please do. If you like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, this is actually the guy who kind of started their kind of funky career.
Yeah.
They kind of made it what it is. Anyway, here it is, Mothership Connection, Star Child. Don't go away. We've got more crazy, funky, awesome music for you as we continue on here on Musicology on radio.dominican.edu. DJ Wise here with DJ King. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back.
Well, all right. Star Child, citizens of the universe, recording angels. We have returned to claim the pyramid.
was partying on the mothership. I am the mothership connection. Getting down in 3D. Light year groove. Well, all right. You hear that noise? There ain't nobody but me and the boy. Get down. Hit it, fellas. Put a glide in your stride and a dip in your hip and come on to the mothership. Loose boot, doing the bump. Hustle on over here. This far. Mothership connection. Home of the people, the bomb. Put on my sunglasses here so I can see what I'm doing. What a party. Star Child here, citizens of the universe. I bring forth to you the good time on the mothership. Are you here? Say, fellas. Doing it in 3D. So good is good to me.
better be ready to go. Swing low. Time to move on. Light years in time. Ahead of our time. Free your mind. Come fly with me. It's hip. On the mothership.
Oh my goodness, that was awesome.
Very funky.
Very funkadelic here on Musicology. That was, of course, George Clinton with Parliament, the 1976 album, Mothership Connection. Awesome album.
And if you're a Dre fan, you noticed that Dre used that
That's
song.
That's a sample, yeah.
Yeah, he sampled that song for Let Me Ride off his first album.
Yeah, so George Clinton, essentially one of those guys who is pioneering things for later groups, as we will see later on in Musicology when we have more time to talk about funk artist, probably next week. So be there if you like the funk, because we got the funk. Shifting gears, I would have loved to have had this soundbite for you. I was supposed to have a soundbite for you of Harvey Milk's infamous You Gotta Give 'Em Hope speech. Unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to have that, or I couldn't get it, rather. And so I want to segue now into essentially what was popular at the time, and that was gay rights. So like we talked about with maybe civil rights, maybe we talked about women's rights before coming into play during music, what happened in the 1970s? We had gay rights coming into play. So musicians were expressing themselves sexually, and almost adversely or connected to that, there were essentially this strong movement in the gay community, which is awesome. So in 1969, a group of homosexuals at the Stonewall Inn at Greenwich Village resisted a police arrest and then ended up rioting, which later led to the formation of the Gay Activist Alliance Group. So that was one of the first Gay Activist Alliance groups here in America, which is amazing. And then in the 1970s, we have gay newspapers coming out, such as Gay Sunshine, Gay the Newspaper, and Gay Power, all a part of...
Gay Sunshine.
Gay Sunshine, yeah. They were... So, yeah. So what was great about this was musicians weren't afraid to express themselves sexually, regardless of orientation. Awesome. Good. So... one artist in particular that comes out and who is most notably known for his work as a glam rock artist is one of the best musicians ever, I will preface by saying, is, of course, Davy Jones from the Monkees. No, Davy Jones, later known as David Bowie. Of course, who created the space-age glittery image persona that was Ziggy Stardust. He was amazing. Once he started his career, he didn't end it, and he's amazing. He himself came out as a bisexual in January of 1972.
Fairly early in his career.
Fairly early in his career, and he was exploring different music boundaries, as well as different sexual experiences. On August 16th, so later that year of 1972, David introduced to the Rainbow Theater in London Ziggy Stardust, the shocking image of a man in tight-fitting, glimmering jumpsuits with hunting boots on and orange hair caught a lot of attention of people, apparently, that hadn't really been too much seen. Even though we had people like Little Richard who were very androgynous, you know, they weren't like... dressing up in extremely flamboyant eyeliner, face makeup, anything like that. And David Bowie pretty much pioneered that. And along with that came essentially just from then on, it was just musicians with just this appearance, this androgynous appearance, and this, you know, it's really cool and all, but you also have to be David Bowie to do that. So remember that.
Yeah. It's awesome that musicians, you know, and like we said at the time with the whole civil rights thing, have such a sway on people.
Right, right, yeah.
That they can start accepting things like, you know, in the 60s, they started accepting African Americans as equals rather than minorities. And then now here we are in the 70s, gay people.
Right. And Ziggy Stardust sold over 1 million copies. So it's this is someone who's not afraid to express himself, and he's also making the mainstream market. He topped the British pop charts, and he essentially changed music forever. We'll get more into that. The people who influenced, the list goes on forever. We're talking a guy who is essentially like, he's kind of like a Jelly Roll Morton or like a Muddy Waters kind of S character who just keeps on, the list goes on from the people who have quoted him as a inspiration. This next song for you, off Hunky Dory, an amazing album, 1970, I believe. Life on Mars here on radio.dominican.edu. We're going to come back with some musicians Bowie influenced, and essentially what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about punk rock because we're ending here with Bowie and some other musicians, so you kind of know where this is going, people. Don't go away, though. We're going to talk a little bit more, and then we're going to leave you guys here on radio.dominican.edu, but for now, don't go away.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, but her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go, but her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools if they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Take a look at the low man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars? America's tortured brow that Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rule Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clown. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be writ again, as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there
Oh, yeah. So that was Life on Mars there from David Bowie, and a special surprise performance there by Open Up and Bleed by Iggy Pop and the Stooges. The song is Open Up and Bleed off his Live at Richards album, which he did in Atlanta, Georgia, October 1973. An amazing album. The reason why we played here for you, David Bowie with Iggy Pop back-to-back, is because we're going to see a lot more of those two artists coming up in the future. And Iggy Pop actually kind of got his start from David Bowie, incidentally enough, when he was in New York, actually. So Iggy Pop was sort of a struggling musician with the Stooges. He had gone back to Michigan to play with his band there, and he cut lawns, I think, was his job. And he wasn't really digging that. And then he went up to New York one day, and then he finds Bowie and Bowie's manager, and they kind of suggest him to take more in an androgynous style. Like, mm-hmm. they want him to sort of glamour up his image a little bit. And so you have The Stooges 1960 album, then Funhouse 1970 album, and then Raw Power, which was right after he saw David Bowie. So you can kind of see
that's an awesome
the first
album.
Two albums, you know, it's just kind of David Bowie. The first, The Stooges looks just like a regular old kind of pop album, something you'd see with the Beatles. And then you had Raw Power, which was kind of cool, a lot of fire. Not Raw Power, Funhouse, which was like a lot of fire. And then Raw Power, which was him dressed in eyeliner. He had bleach blonde hair. He was wearing red lipstick. So, and that was his most successful album at the time. You know, that was his breakthrough album that came out in February 7th, 1973. So he kind of broke out with that. And yeah, what do you think about Iggy Pop? Wait.
Well, first of all, his work with the Stooges is unparalleled.
We love him. I mean, we're going to be talking a lot about punk rock later. This is actually the first time I've seen punk rock on my iTunes for any of the musicology performance or any of the musicology track lists I have for you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited because we're going to be getting into some amazing bands. We're going to be getting into guys like the New York Dolls, probably even later tonight. I'll end on the New York Dolls for you because that's such a influential band. We'll get into the Modern Lovers with Richard Hell. We'll get into the Sex Pistols. I know you're a huge fan.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into the Ramones. Essentially, next time you come to listen to Musicology, it's going to be nonstop punk. If you don't like punk, get the funk out of here. And as George Clinton would say, and yeah. Because that's what we're going to be talking about, and then we're going to be talking about new wave, post-punk. So, you know, these next couple episodes are going to be really fun. And
yeah, stepping into the 80s.
We're
going to
be stepping into some awesome stuff, man. Oh, so, yeah. Anyways, yeah. So not only did David Bowie influence Iggy Pop, the people I'm going to leave you with, he also influenced the New York Dolls from New York. And they formed in 1971 with guitarist Johnny Thunders and singer David Johansen. And the group kind of began playing around locally in New York at the Mercer Art Center. And they made their first album in 1973. And it was pretty thrashy. It was pretty hardcore. And then they also got the idea to glam up their appearance. So now they're wearing high heels. They're wearing like blouses and heavy makeup, six inch heels.
Damn, why would?
I don't know of too many musicians who do that now. Like,
no way.
Other than Lady Gaga, I don't really know of too many people who are throwing down 6 inch heels.
The glam look.
Yeah, unless you're Prince or Lady Gaga, you don't need to be wearing 6 inch heels. Yeah. But they did it, and they made punk, and they made it awesome, and I really want to leave you here with sort of what's to expect of next week. Chatterbox by the New York Dolls from Too Much Too Soon. That's a great album. Check it out. Please come back next week, Wednesdays, 9 o'clock, radio.dominican.edu, Musicology. Also be here for Music Central at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock here, same time, same place, talking about...
You know what to do.
Whatever
tickles your fancies. If you see us, if you want to email us, please do so. If you see us on campus, yell at us, scream at us, throw things at us, because we love the attention. Don't go away. We're going to play here Chatterbox for you by the New York Dolls. I really hope you enjoyed the show here. Did you enjoy the show?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, perfect.
If it has Floyd and David Bowie, then definitely it's a good show.
Oh, okay, yeah. No. That was a trick question. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening here on radio.dominican.edu. 1, 2, 3, 4!